Hi, I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerforliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerforgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerforgathering.com webpage. Now, we'll continue with singing hymn number 96.
Priesthood of old, the Holy Christ, amid the suffering throng, with whom his light has touched the
And welcome to this healing meeting at prayerforgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is healing. The hymns are 96, 101, and 110. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. Matthew. Cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. There came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And when he was come to the other side, unto the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feedings. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of the swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place unto the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befalling to the possessed of the devils. They brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. There came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Then touched he their eyes, and their eyes were opened. They brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power to heal. John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with this devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Mark. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Then cometh he to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath the dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the father, How long is it since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, Thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I shall now read from Science and Health. Medicine. Which was first, mind or medicine? If mind was first and self-existent, then mind, not matter, must have been the first medicine. God being all in all, he made medicine, but that medicine was mind. It could not have been matter, which departs from the nature and character of mind, God. Truth is God's remedy for error of every kind, and truth destroys only what is untrue. Hence the fact that today, as yesterday, Christ casts out evils and heals the sick. Sometimes the human mind uses one error to medicate another. Driven to choose between two difficulties, the human mind takes the lesser to relieve the greater. On this basis, it saves from starvation by theft and quiets pain with anodynes. When the science of being is universally understood, every man will be his own physician, and truth will be the universal panacea. It is a question today whether the ancient inspired healers understood the science of Christian healing, or whether they caught its sweet tones as the natural musician catches the tones of harmony without being able to explain them. The ancient Christians were healers. Why has this element of Christianity been lost? Because our systems of religion are governed more or less by our systems of medicine. The first idolatry was faith in matter. The schools have rendered faith in drugs the fashion rather than faith in deity. Our master healed the sick, practiced Christian healing, and taught the generalities of its divine principle to his students. But he left no definite rule for demonstrating this principle of healing and preventing disease. This rule remained to be discovered in Christian Science. Great respect is due the motives and philanthropy of the higher class of physicians. We know that if they understood the science of mind healing and were in possession of the enlarged powers it confers to benefit the race physically and spiritually, they would rejoice with us. When the sick recover by the use of drugs, it is the law of a general belief, culminating in individual faith which heals, and according to this faith will the effect be. The chemist, the botanist, the druggist, the doctor, and the nurse equip the medicine with their faith, and the beliefs which are in the majority rule. It is just to say that generally the cultured class of medical practitioners are grand men and women. Therefore, they are more scientific than the false claimants to Christian Science. But all human systems based on material premises are minus the unction of divine science. Physicians should not deport themselves as if mind were non-existent, nor take the ground that all causation is matter instead of mind. Ignorant that the human mind governs the body, its phenomena, the invalid may unwittingly add more fear to the mental reservoir already overflowing with that emotion. Doctors should not implant disease in the thoughts of their patients as they so frequently do by declaring disease to be a fixed fact, even before they go to work to eradicate the disease through the material faith which they inspire. No system of hygiene but Christian Science is purely mental. Erroneous mental practice may seem for a time to benefit the sick, but the recovery is not permanent. Better suffer a doctor infected with smallpox to attend you than to be treated mentally by one who does not obey the requirements of divine science. Physicians whom the sick employ in their helplessness should be models of virtue. They should be wise spiritual guides to health and hope. To the tremblers on the brink of death who understand not the divine truth which is life and perpetuates being, physicians should be able to teach it. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. To stop eating, drinking, or being clothed materially before the spiritual facts of existence are gained step by step is not legitimate. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, He directs our path. During the sensual ages, absolute Christian science may not be achieved prior to the change called death, but we have not the power to demonstrate what we do not understand. But the human self must be evangelized. If Christian scientists were teaching or practicing pharmacy or obstetrics according to the common theories, no denunciations would follow them, even if their treatment resulted in the death of a patient. The people are taught in such cases to say, Amen. There are various methods of treating disease which are not included in the commonly accepted systems, but there is only one which should be presented to the whole world, and that is the Christian science which Jesus preached and practiced and left to us as his rich legacy. Did the careless doctor, the nurse, the cook, and the brusque business visitor sympathetically know the thorns they plant in the pillow of the sick and the heavenly homesick, looking away from earth? Oh, did they know? This knowledge would do much more towards healing the sick and preparing their helpers for the midnight call than all cries of, Lord, Lord. If the scientist reaches his patient through divine love, the healing work will be accomplished at one visit, and this disease will vanish into its native nothingness, like dew before the morning sunshine. Homeopathic remedies, sometimes not containing a particle of medicine, are known to relieve the symptoms of disease. What produces the change? It is the faith of the doctor and the patient, which reduces self-inflicted sufferings and produces a new effect upon the body. Until the advancing age admits the efficacy and supremacy of mind, it is better for Christian scientists to leave surgery and the adjustment of broken bones and dislocations to the fingers of a surgeon, while the mental healer confines himself chiefly to mental reconstruction and the prevention of inflammation. Christian science is always the more skillful surgeon, but surgery is a branch of its healing which will be last acknowledged. We say that one human mind can influence another, and in this way affect the body. But we rarely remember that we govern our own bodies. If Christian scientists ever fail to receive aid from other scientists, their brethren, upon whom they may call, God will still guide them into the right use of temporary and eternal means. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need.